I have turned to the precious word of life, needing strength for my weary soul. How often has the voice of God addressed the sin in me, as He draws me close and makes me whole. In the darkest hours of life I face, I've been healed by its words. My spirit springs to life anew when I hear from the Lord. The voice of God that speaks from the pages. The truth of God that stands throughout the ages. It's a lamp, it's a light, it's the very bread of life. My source of comfort here and my heart's delight. I'm so thankful that I have a Bible.
Decisions I have made have been guided by this book, speaking truth when I don't know what to do. It stands unchanging in a world where nothing stays the same. It's a constant life for whatever you go through. It was true back then, it's true today. You can build your life upon it.
The foundation upon which I stand, I'm thankful I can say. That is the voice of God that speaks from the pages. The truth of God that stands throughout the ages. It's a lamp, it's a light, it's the very bread of life. My source of comfort here and my heart's delight. I'm so thankful that I have a Bible. It's my source of strength in times of temptation. It's where I first learned of God's salvation.
And tomorrow when I open up that precious book again,
it still will be everything I need. The voice of God that speaks from the pages. The truth of God that stands throughout the ages. It's a lamp, it's a light, it's the very bread of life. My source of comfort here and my heart's delight. I'm so thankful that I have a Bible. I'm so thankful that I have a Bible.
Yes, I am too. Glory. That's a great song. I love that part in there, my heart's delight. Delight thyself also in the Lord. And I'll tell you what, I'm glad I've got a Bible. Thank you, folks. Great song this morning. Absolutely. A lady paid our church one of the greatest compliments last Sunday that has ever been paid to Faith Baptist. She said to the personal worker talking with her, "I've never been to a church where it's all about the Bible." What else is it going to be about? Personality? Opinion? Political parties? It better be about that book right there. It's what it better be about. So thankful. I'm glad I've got a Bible too. 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. And we're going to look at a passage of scripture this morning involving a great woman. That's what the Bible calls her in this passage. And I think we will probably just read, we'll read a couple of verses here, but then we're going to look at several in the chapter And some of you will be familiar with this story. Others, it might be new to you. And if you don't have a Bible, I think it'll be self-explanatory as we go through it. But if you do have a Bible, I encourage you to look at it and follow along the verses. If you have that, 2 Kings 4, let's stand in honor of God's Word this morning. And I'm going to read beginning in verse number 8. The Bible says here, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. And she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither." And I simply want to speak this morning on the great woman. Heavenly Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the wonderful song about the Bible, your word. And I pray, God, that this church will always be about the Bible. Help us to stand fast on your eternal book. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. And I thank you for your word this morning. Help me as I preach it. We not only need the word, but we need the Spirit, his power, his anointing. It brings life to the message. So, Lord, would you give us that this morning? We'll be grateful for it in Christ's name. And amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. Elisha was the man whom God raised up to follow the prophet Elijah. Elijah was a powerful prophet working some great miracles during his tenure as prophet in Israel. Elijah reached a point in his ministry when he became emotionally and physically spent. So much so that he asked God to take his life. People, you need to have patience with folks who deal with emotional difficulties. You had people in the Bible that did that. Elijah did. How are you going to be a more bold prophet than Elijah? I mean, he called down fire from heaven in the face of the opposition, 850 false prophets. Now, that's pretty strong. But he was emotionally and physically spent, and that's not a good combination for anybody. And he assumed that he could no longer function as a prophet, and he asked God for an early death. By the way, be careful of making false assumptions when you are tired, when you're emotionally, physically spent. Be careful about that. That's not a good time to make critical decisions. Okay? So Elijah, that's what he did. Now, instead of giving him his request, God gave him Elisha to help sustain him and to eventually succeed him. And Elisha did just that. He followed Elijah and he served God with a double portion of Elijah's spirit on him. Elisha worked some great miracles, and actually in number, he doubled those worked by Elijah. There are 8 recorded miracles that Elijah worked, and there are 16 worked by Elisha. Now, during the course of his ministry, Elisha met an unusual woman who lived in the place on the road that led to Shunem. In fact, the Bible called her in verse number 8 a great woman. We read that just a moment ago. Where was a great woman? Now, the word great means what you and I would assume it means. Older in age, she was great in magnitude. She was great in extent. She was great in intensity. She was great in ways that are really admirable when it comes to women. So I guess I'm preaching this morning basically to the female gender in the room. But men, we can learn from this just as well. And I want to point out 3 admirable qualities about this great woman from the scripture today. Okay, it's got to be about the Bible, right? So it's found in the Word of God. Number 1, she was great in perception. She was great in perception. Now look at verse number 8. We read that one, okay. Look at verse number 9. We read this a moment ago too. So she says, and so she invited Elisha in, and she said unto her husband, "Behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually." She was great in perception. So she and her husband lived on the road that led to Shunem. And Elisha was traveling to Shunem one day, And she saw him come in and had seen him do that several times. She said, "Hey, are you hungry?" And he was a Baptist prophet because he was hungry, obviously. Okay. So he went in and he got some bread. And, she fed him a little bit, and then he ate there. And then the next time Elisha traveled to Shunem, she invited him again in for some food. And this happened often. And one day she shared an idea with her husband. We read about it in verse number 10 and verse number 10. She basically went to her husband and she said, "Honey, this man passes by us continually. And I perceive that he's a holy man of God. Let's make a little room in the house and let's furnish it just for him. Let's put a bed in there and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And when he passes this way, not only can he have something to eat, if he's tired, he can actually get some rest here. He can stay in that room." And if you've ever heard the phrase prophet's chamber, that's exactly where it came from. It came from 2 Kings chapter 8 and chapter 4 and verse number 9 and 10 here. So they built a little room for the prophet, and that's where he stayed as he passed on the way to Shunem. When he'd go down the road to Shunem, he would stay at this little prophet's chamber that they made for him. Now, the word perceive, that's interesting. She said in verse number 9, "I perceive." The word perceive means to know. It means to see with understanding, to be in the light as opposed to being in the dark. Listen, to be affected by impressions. And when it comes to women, a lot of times we call this a sixth sense, intuition. Actually, it's perception. This woman had a special sense to know that if Elisha, this preacher of God, needed some help, and she not only had a special sense on the fact that to know that he needed help, she had a special sense to know how to help him. And that's not surprising because God created women to be a help. That's what he created women to be. Now, my wife and I did not compare notes. So for those of you who were at the meeting yesterday, some of this may sound very similar and familiar to what she said. And I was telling her, she was telling me a little bit about her talk yesterday. We went for a walk yesterday afternoon when, it was not raining and blowing 800 miles an hour. It was kind of windy, but we went for a nice walk. And when she was telling me all about her talk, and I began to tell her about this message. And she said, "We are saying the same thing. We read the same book. You read the same book, you get the same message." Genesis 2:18, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him." And then after that, we read of the creation of Eve. So ladies, Eve's purpose was to be a help. Eve's purpose was to be an aid to Adam. That was Eve's purpose. Yes, Eve would bear children. Yes, Eve would provide companionship. Yes, Eve would be called the mother of all living. She was all of that for sure. But before she bore a child, before she was called the mother of all living, she was created to be a help, an aid for Adam. That's why God made her. Did you ever wonder why women are so helpful? They can see and they can figure out ways to help. They can figure out ways to organize. They can figure out ways to get things done. They see something that needs to be done and they know how to get it done. And they're helpful in so many areas. They're helpful at home. They're helpful at church. They're helpful in the ministry. They're helpful in the kitchen. They're helpful in the classroom. They're helpful in the office. How do they know all these things? How are they so gifted when it comes to helping people? It's how they are made. God made Eve to be. Look, don't you believe with all your heart that if God made Eve to be a help, he also enabled her to be that help? And that's why women are great in perception. They're great in seeing this needs to be done. This needs to be helped. And they know how to do it. It's how they're made. Helping is part of their genetic makeup. God made the first woman to be a help. And as my wife said yesterday, and she did not write this, I wrote it. Okay? Ladies, it's not popular today to speak of you as being a helper. What's popular today is for women to be spoken of as being in the lead, to be large and in charge. Women are portrayed as the sharp, smart, got it all together leaders who can stand toe to toe with men and boss them around if they need be. Well, maybe they need be. But does that mean that they should? They dress like men. They cuss like men. They work like men. I feel sorry for the female standing out on 294 with a road sign. I really do. I feel sorry for her. Now, ladies, I know this is not popular, but I've never been worried about preaching what's popular when the Bible says what it says. God created Eve to be a help. And it's understandable when you just look around and observe how helpful women are. God created a woman to be in a subordinate role as a helper. And God gifted them to be perceptive in ways when it comes to helping. When you read Proverbs 31, the chapter beginning in verse 10 about that virtuous woman, you read it this afternoon, ladies. Read verse 21 down, verse 10 down to the end of the chapter, Proverbs 31. And you know what you're going to read? You're going to read about a woman helping, 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 helping. And the Bible says that she has done virtuously. And her husband and her children rise up and call her blessed. It says that women see the needs of others quicker than men do. Have you ever noticed that, fellas? Your wife sees something, that some way to improve or make better, some way to help, and you think to yourself, why didn't I see that? Why didn't I see that? It's a gift that God has given them. He's created them with that gift of perception and seeing things. And how does this, can this be improved, and how to help in this matter? There is normally a God-given perception in women to see the needs of others and to know how to be a help to others. And Paul said in Romans chapter 16 and verse number 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, husband and wife, my helpers in Christ Jesus. That's what God did when He created women. He created them to be great in perception. You know, when I was at the boys' home, Mike was the leader of the home there, and he had a wife named Maywin. And there was one boy, and then there was a second boy born, I think, in the time period that I was there. Yes, the first boy was already there. Second boy came while I was there, and eventually they have two girls. But the girls came after I left. Anyway, Maywin did not cook for us. Mike did. And so for 6 days a week, 7 days a week, we ate food cooked by a man. So, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. Men are good cooks, and we had to help in that. And Mike was especially good at cooking breakfast and pancakes and stuff like that. But about every other month, a lady and her husband would travel up from Decatur, Georgia. They were members at Forest Hills Baptist Church, Brother Jeff, where Curtis Hudson was the pastor, John and Margie Ashby. I don't know if you remember them or not. Brother Jeff's from that church years ago. Margie Ashby. And Margie would bring us a home-cooked meal. I'm talking about meat, and I'm talking about potatoes, and I'm talking about vegetables, and I'm talking about dessert, and I'm talking about salad and sweet tea, because that's the only kind of tea that exists south of the Mason-Dixon line, sweet tea. And she would bring all that up, travel up a couple of hours, maybe 2.5 hours from Decatur, Georgia, and get it there in the kitchen and heat it all up and have it all cooked, heat it all up, put that, she came up. They gave up their Thanksgiving day and brought us turkey dinner. 11, 12, 13 boys in Mike's family. And when we saw John and Margie Ashby's car pulling in that long winding lane there at the boys' ranch, it was a happy day at Shepherd's Lane. We got a home-cooked meal. A help. A help. That's how God made women. Now, Brother Allen, you think about it. You, Brother Bragg, in the school, how would a church, a school function without the help, not only of paid employees, but unpaid employees? How's your bus ministry? How is your Sunday school? How is all these things that go on here? How does it exist without the help of good women? It doesn't. It doesn't. And ladies, can I give you just a little suggestion? Embrace that. Why would you not? That's how God made you. Embrace it. Because God made women to help and gives them the gift of perception. This lady not only, I mean, how many of us men would have said, hey, you need something to eat? We'd have said, hey, you hungry? Go kill a deer or something. I don't know. You're on your own. But this woman saw this man pass. Maybe he looked famished. And she said he needs to eat. And now we're not only going to figure out the fact that he needs to eat. Now we're going to figure out how to get him some rest. And honey, can we put this little room aside here and add on addition to the house? And we'll put a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick in there. What's she doing? She's helping. She was great in perception. Ladies, find that place in life where you can be a help to others. And of course, it starts right there in your own home with your husband and your children. But then beyond the four walls of your house, how can God use you to be a help? That's how he made you. She was great in perception. Number two, not only was she great in perception, she was great in contentment. She was great in contentment. Look at verse number 13. Here's what the Bible says. And he said unto him, this is Elijah. Let me catch up on the story. Elisha is talking to his servant in verse 13. So he had been the recipient of her hospitality. He'd been the recipient of her help for some time. And Elisha desired to do something for the woman. By the way, that's a natural response for those who aren't looking for something for nothing. Isn't it amazing that those who are the most interested in getting something for nothing are often the most ungrateful? So he's not like that, because he's a man of God. And she's been helping me, and they've been providing for me, and they've been giving me this place to rest and food to eat. And so he has this idea. He desired to do something for her. And he brought her in and talking through Gehazi, say now unto her, verse 13, look at what he said. Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care, all this help. What is to be done for you, for thee? What can I do for you? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? So Elisha says, hey, what can I do for you? Can I speak to the king for you? Because Elisha had an inroad to the king. He could go right to the king's palace as the prophet and speak to him. She couldn't. So can I go to the king and speak for you? Or do you need some other kind of help from the military? Do you need the attention of the commander of the host? What can I do for you? I want to do something for you. What can I do for you? Look at her answer at the end of verse number 13. And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. You know what she meant by that, folks? What she meant by that was she didn't need any favors from the government. She didn't need any favors from the military. She was content with where she lived and how she lived. Content. I dwell among mine own people. I wonder how many of us would have answered in that manner. If somebody had offered us, hey, can I speak a word to President Biden for you? I'm not sure what he'll be remembered in the past 3 minutes, but or what can be done for you? She was content with what she had. I dwell among mine own people. What did she have? She had a husband. No doubt she had some kinfolk. Possibly some siblings, nieces, nephews. She mentioned her own people. I dwell among my own people, plural. So obviously, more than one, she had a house. And now she's got an add-on room that she used for the traveling prophet. Her husband owned some land, and he had some hired hands working for him. You know what she had, ladies? She had a common living. And she was content. With a common living. What she had, one of the greatest qualities a woman can possess is contentment. The blessing of having a wife that's content with what she has and where she lives and what she is doing is invaluable. Just being content to be what God has made her to be. That helper made to assist and to aid those around her is a huge blessing. And ladies, be content with how God made you and what He made you to be. A help. Just be content. You know, I've observed over the years, you learn a lot from watching people. You want to have fun? Go to where people walk by and just sit for an hour. Yeah, it's entertaining. Whenever I fly and go in these airports, it's just amazing to sit around and just watch the people. But more than that, observing God's people in 42 years of ministry, I've observed some women. The word I use is restless. They're restless. They just aren't settled. They're not content. They're always jumping from one thing to the next, 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 and trying to scratch that itch. Scratch the itch of how God made you. Be content. Be content with how you live. Be content with where you live. And I've often said that one of the qualities my wife possesses that I cherish the most, and she's got a lot of wonderful qualities, but I'm not preaching now. I'm telling you the truth, all right? And God is listening, is that she has been content. Starting out in the ministry, it was very thin financially. I'm not dissing Brother Brown, because he cared for us as best as he could. But the church was small in those days, and there wasn't a whole lot of money, and there was a mortgage to pay every year, a balloon payment, and it was thin. It was very, very thin. And she never, I took a pay cut working a job over here in a factory to become an assistant. I was making more money at the factory. That's just how it was. And by the way, that was not surprising to any of us back in that day. And we were still happy because God called us to His work. She never complained. There was never any pressure about what we were not able to have or not able to do. We started out in an apartment that, honestly, I'm not kidding you, probably it was smaller than this section of pews right here. I know it was. It was tiny. And some of you probably started out the same way. We didn't have a table. We had two trunks pushed together for a kitchen table. That's how we started. And then we went to a single wide trailer, a single wide mobile home trailer. And we had to go get bales of straw from her dad and put it all around the skirting of that trailer to keep the wind out, the cold wind out there in Iowa that blew. And the warmth was good, but the mice were not. Here came the mice. I will say she's not content with mice in the house. I will say that. She's not content with that. She loved that trailer. Hey, a man, it was a place to sleep and eat, right? You know. But she loved it. The blessing of being content. And I'm preaching this morning to the ears of two adults, one female, one man, who grew up in her home. If I was lying, they'd know it. She was content. Boy, you talk about a thing, you talk about something nice for a husband. Why can't we do that? I want this. Content. What can I do for you? I'm fine. I don't need anything. You don't need to talk to the king. You don't need to talk to the general. Just, I'm happy right here. This is where I live. This is where I live. You got to have to learn to be a little content just to live in Illinois these days. And I'm not talking about just the wind and the rain. I'm talking about this great lady was content. But can I tell you something else? I told you what she had. Can I tell you what she did not have? A child. She did not have anyone to call her mother. None. I believe God has put it in the heart of every female to have a child. Little girls get little dolls and hold them in their arms like a baby. Don't they? And you don't have to teach them. Now hold them like this. No, just something. Not having a child is an unfulfilled desire. I'm amazed at the grace of God that has been given to a handful of ladies I've known over the years to be able to learn contentment. They've never birthed a child. And I preach this once in a while because I want them to know I think about you. If those normal and common desires of a female are not abused, everyone longs to give birth to a little one. And this lady had not done that. She was still able to say, I'm good. Whew. Put a price tag on that, buddy. Put a price tag on that. You can't. I've seen some of these ladies throw themselves into loving and being a huge blessing to relatives, to nieces and nephews, to children of their siblings. They don't have a child. Their siblings do. And they throw their heart. And their soul into being a blessing to somebody else's kids. That's grace. That's grace. My admiration, through the roof. There's no sense of bitterness. I'm sure there's been struggle, folks. Humanity. Human. But I'm just amazed. And evidently, this lady was the same way. I'm okay. I'm fine. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I read a little story this week. A pilot always looked down intently on a certain valley in the Appalachian Mountains when the plane he was piloting passed over that certain part of the country. And one day he was just gazing. They were passing over the Appalachian Mountains, and he was gazing out the window so intently that the co-pilot asked him, "What's so interesting about this place?" And the pilot replied, "See that stream down there? When I was a kid, I used to sit down there on a log and fish. And every time a plane would fly overhead, I would look up and wish I were flying. Now, I look down and wish I were fishing." Yeah. That's normal, I guess. But I'll tell you what's not normal to human people that has to be learned is contentment. I'm okay. I don't have to have. I don't have to get. I don't have to be. I don't have to do. Here's where I live. This is what I do. I'm okay. That's a great woman. She was great in perception. She was great in contentment. And by the way, you don't even know her name. She's an unnamed woman. Number three, let me say this morning, she was great in faith. She was great in faith. I'm done with this point. Look at verse number 20 through 20. Well, just read a little bit here with me, all right? She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. Now, what has happened is the boy was out working with his dad. And he said, my head, my head. And most people think that probably what happened here was sunstroke. Sunstroke was very common in Palestine in those days because the sun is so hot. So he got sunstroke. He said, my head, my head. And the dad said, carry him to his mother. And so he went. They took him to his mother, verse number 20. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. So God had given her a child. And now the boy died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. So this child that was God's gift to her at a late stage in life, no doubt had brought her much joy. Old enough that he was out there at least in the field with the dad working or watching the workers, he dies. She lays him on the bed that Elisha slept in. You say, what was that all about? That was her way of turning the matter over to God. It seems pretty certain that she did not tell her husband the boy had died because she asked her husband, hey, could I get somebody to help me? I need to go see the man of God. And his question, we could read it here, but for sake of time, I won't. His question is, why would you want to go see him today? It's not a holy day. Nothing special going on today. And you know what she answered to that question? Her answer to her husband's question, why do you need to go see Elisha? She said, it shall be well. Her son is dead. It shall be well? How does she know that? And when she got to Elisha, you know, her broken heart and her unbounded sorrow, her emotional state, you know, she said, what, I'm paraphrasing now, what is this, some kind of a joke? You knew I didn't have a child, and then you told me I was going to have a child, and we had a child, now my child's dead? What is this, some kind of joke? Her heart shattered. She's weeping. And I don't have time to go into all the details of this story. But she answered to her husband, it shall be well. Did she know that the boy would be raised back to life? I don't think she knew that at the time. But here's it, folks. Listen, in faith believing, she had responded in faith by saying, it shall be well. Not knowing for certain the outcome. Maybe while hoping for the best. She knew of regardless of how it ended, all would be well in God's way, with God's help, in God's time, because God always does everything well. Always. Sometimes that has to be embraced by faith, because everything inside of you is saying, this is not well. But faith believes that God does everything. I don't know if there's anything harder for a woman than burying a child. I believe that is what Simeon meant when in the temple and Mary is holding little 8-day-old Jesus in her arms. He said, yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also. Because even though she knew who he was her son. And she watched him. And no mother buries a son or a daughter without dying a little bit in her heart. I got that call yesterday from my brother-in-law, Brad. He was emotional. If you've ever lost a sibling, you know the feeling. It's unique. It's different. He said, well, you've been through this. I said, yep. I said, Brad, the person I feel the worst for is your mom. Tomorrow's Mother's Day. And she had to will bury this week, a 57-year-old boy. Ladies, everything may not turn out as you plan. Everything may not turn out as you expect. Disappointed expectations can create bitterness in a person's heart. Disappointment and sorrow, unexpected events have to be met with the faith that even though I can't see it for the moment, God does everything well. It may not be enjoyable, it may not be pleasant, it may bring tears, it may result in not understanding why. But in the end, God is good and God is right and God does all things well. And by faith, we can embrace that. And she did. She did. Horatio Spafford was a successful attorney, real estate investor. He lost a fortune in the Chicago fire of 1871. At that same time, his 4-year-old boy died of scarlet fever. He had a wife, 4 other daughters, thought that it would be a nice thing to send them on a vacation. So he put them on a ship to cross the Atlantic Ocean going to England. And while they were crossing the Atlantic Ocean, the ship was involved in a terrible accident, a terrible collision. It sunk. More than 200 people died in that accident, including all 4 of his girls. His wife, Anna, survived. When they got to England, of course, he had heard about the wreck, but when they got to England, no way to communicate. When they got to England, she sent a telegram to her husband, saved alone. What shall I do? Spafford set sail for England. As they were crossing the Atlantic, the captain summoned for him and said, Horatio, we are right now at the spot where the accident occurred and the ship sunk right in this vicinity. And as Horatio Spafford thought about his daughters, God filled his heart and his mind with words of comfort, words of hope. And he wrote them down, and Philip P. Bliss put them to music. And once in a while, we sing that song here in church. When peace, like a river, attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say. It's well. It's well with my soul. Next time you see that, sing that song in church, see that man standing on the deck of that ship where 4 of his daughters drowned. Whatever my lot, thou's taught me to say, it's well with my soul. What a woman. What a woman. Got women like that sitting in this room today. God bless you. God bless you. Whether you're a mother or not, you can be a great woman. Great in perception, great in contentment, and great in faith. Happy Mother's Day. Great women. Let's pray together. I'll pray in just a moment. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Wonder who's here this morning would say, Pastor, the Spirit of God, not just emotionally, but the Spirit of God specifically came by my pew, to my seat, spoke to my heart this morning. Maybe you're even a man, okay? But there the qualities of being perceptive and content and having faith, even in the face of difficult times, is something we should desire as well. But God spoke to my heart. There's just no doubt about it. The Spirit of God spoke to my heart today. I needed that. Pray for me. Thank you. I needed to hear that. Can I see your hand wherever you're sitting this morning? God bless you. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Are you saved? Dad, mom, teenager, boy, girl, young adult, are you saved? Do you know for sure that if you died today, your home would be in heaven? And if you know that, then all can be well, even the difficult times in life. Is anybody here today would say, Brother Angel, I'm not sure I'm saved. You've been talking about this, and I've been listening, and I know I'm not saved. Or I don't know that I am, and it concerns me. If that's you this morning, could it? You slip your hand in the air, let me see it. I want to just pray here in a moment. Ask God to help you, speak to your heart. Anybody like that today? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Has the Spirit of God been working on you a little bit and kind of prodding, kind of touching your heart? Anybody like that today? If you need to be baptized, I know several have already slipped out to follow the Lord in believer's baptism this morning. And if that's you, that's wonderful. In just a moment, I'm going to pray. We're going to give the invitation. I know we have some that we are going to vote on for membership this morning. That's wonderful, too. But the altar will be open. Father, thank you for the privilege to be in church today, for these dear ladies, especially on Mother's Day. Lord, thank you for this woman and your word. You put this in your eternal word for us to learn from. A real lady who had perception and contentment and faith. God, do that for our hearts as well. Bless anybody here that's not sure that they're saved. Draw them to Christ. Thank you for these that are obedient to baptism. Bless these that are joining the church today. In Christ's name. Let's stand together, please. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The altar is open. You make your way here if the Spirit of God spoke to you this morning. While you do, you come. How about it, Mom? Do you need to be more perceptive? Do you need to be content? Do you need to have greater faith in the face of difficulty? Would you come this morning? Take a moment. Just express that to the Lord. God, you spoke to my heart. Embracing the matter that God made you to be a help. Embrace it. Use it. Faith, contentment, perception. Wonderful, wonderful qualities of the great woman.